This was weird. I mean, when a guy's looking up into the eyes of the most gorgeous collie gal in the whole world, the last thing he wants to do is, well, start chewing on his paw, right? But all at once, I felt this overpowering urge to... It must have been nerves. Hey, there she was, the same lady dog who had visited my dreams so many times, so many thousands of times. And all at once, my mind was whirling like a windmill fan in a storm, and my heart was about to jump out of my chest, and so... Well, it was only natural that I would... She gave me an odd smile.
Hello, Hank. What are you doing?
Well, I seem to be chewing my foot, I guess you might say. How are you, my little sugar plum?
Fine, thank you, but why are you chewing your foot?
You don't want to know, Beulah. Don't even ask. You seem to be having a good life, so don't bother yourself with my problems.
Is something wrong?
I stopped chewing and filled my eyes with the loveliness of her face. Is something wrong? How can you ask such a question? Isn't it obvious? She seemed puzzled.
No, I guess not. Do you have fleas? A skin rash? I don't know, Hank. You'll have to tell me.
I pushed myself up on all fours and walked a few steps away. All right, Beulah, if you must know, I've become a mental and emotional wreck. I chew my foot because I can't eat my heart out. Now do you understand? She shook her head. Okay, let's go straight to the point. That bird dog has ruined my life. She gasped.
You mean Plato?
Yes, Plato. He has ruined my life, broken my heart into 87 pieces, and now he's causing me to chew off my own foot. There, you see? I can no longer control myself.
Hank, I just don't understand what...
I whirled around and looked into her eyes. Beulah, what do you see in that creep? How can you waste your time with a bird dog when you could have, well, me, for example? She turned away.
Oh, so that's it. I thought we'd talked it out, Hank.
Talked it out? Huh? You talked it out, and I went on living in the rubble of my broken heart. And that's what you see before you today. A broken dog. A dog who's left with nothing to do but... eat his leg off. That's all I have left, Beulah. And when I chew off this leg, I'll go to the next one, and the next one, and the next one. And then there'll be nothing left but two ears and a tail.
Can't we just be friends?
Oh, sure. When there's nothing left of me but two ears and a tail, we'll be friends, great friends. Maybe I'll go chase birds with your hero. Is that what you want? Would you like me better if I fetched tennis shoes and pointed stupid twittering birds?
Hank, I like you just as you are.
What's to like? I'm a mirror shelf of my former self. A husk without grain. A house without a home. Without you, my collie dream, there's nothing here.
You do get carried away, don't you?
Yes, my plum garden. I get carried away. I admit it. And until the day when you... At that very moment, Billy and Slim came walking up behind me, forcing me to, well, put my mission on hold. That was rotten luck because I think I had her moving in the right direction. Billy and Slim were discussing some kind of cowboy stuff. Billy.
Well, we'll get on down the road. Thanks for letting me use your leather punch. I'll get it back to you tomorrow or the next day.
Slim. No problem. Billy.
Oh, by the way, have y'all seen any sign of feral hogs?
Slim. What's a feral hog? Billy.
Farm hogs that have gone back to the wild. They've had them downstate for years, but now they're moving into this area. I was on horseback the other day and rode right into the middle of a mad sow and her litter. It was a learning experience. Yeah? What did you learn? I learned that you should stay away from them. A wild hog is nothing you want to mess with. They're plenty mean, and I've heard they'll tear up a dog. Speaking of dogs... Plato! Come on, boy! Load up! A moment later, the Birdly Wonder came blundering in from his romp and dived into the back of the pickup. He was panting, smiling, and covered with weed seeds. I waited for Beulah to give him the bad news, that she had thought long and hard about their relationship and had decided, well, to give her heart to me, you might say. I held my breath and waited. She gave me a glance. Yes, yes, go on, tell the creep. She gave me a glance and then I couldn't believe it. The air hissed out of my lungs as the rafters of my dreams came crashing down into the hollow shell of my something. She didn't tell him to shove off or to get lost. She said, and I mean in a sweet, soft voice, she said,
"How was your workout, honey bumpers?"
"Great, terrific. Best one in years, bunny cakes. And I guess you and Hank shared a nice talk, huh? Great." He gave me a sloppy tongue grin and waved his paw. "Great to see you again, Hank. You really ought to get into birds, you know. Bye now, and take care." As the pickup pulled away, I glared ice picks and bayonets at the jerk and heard myself mutter, "Take care. One of these days, old buddy, I'll take care of you." Then they were gone, and I was left alone to pick up the pieces of a heart that had not only been broken, but also pulverized. I was in the process of sweeping up the wreckage of my life when Drover came skipping up. "Oh, darn, there she goes, and I didn't even have a chance to say hello. I guess you forgot to call me." I stared at the runt. "What?" "You said you'd call me, and I waited, but you didn't call." "Oh, yes, that. Sorry, Drover, but I was busy with other matters. My life was being destroyed." "Yeah, she sure is pretty. Did you hear what I just said? I love her brown eyes." I stuck my nose into his face and raised my voice. "Hello? Will you stop babbling and listen to me?" "Oh, hi. Did you say something?" "Yes. I just announced that my life has been destroyed. I'd appreciate it if you could show some concern." "I'll be darned. Is that all you have to say? My whole life, my reason for living, my hopes and dreams? They've all turned to mush before my very eyes, Drover." "Boy, I love mush." "And all you can say is that you love mush? What kind of dog are you?" "Well, I'm not sure, but huskies love mush." "Huskies do not love mush." "Well, they talk about it all the time." "They don't talk about it all the time. For your information, Drover, mush in husky language means giddy up. It means pull the sled." "I'll be darned. I thought it meant oatmeal." "It does not mean oatmeal. If mush meant oatmeal, do you think the huskies would ever pull a sled?" "No, of course not. They'd go eat. And then who would pull the sleds?"
"I don't know. Reindeer? What does mush mean to a reindeer?"
I gave him a withering glare. "Drover, are you trying to make a mockery of my ruined life? Because if you are, let me remind you..." At that very moment, this loony, meaningless conversation was interrupted by Slim, who had walked over to us. He reached into his shirt pocket and pulled out... what was that? A strip of tree bark? A dead mouse? He tore off a bite of it and held it up for me to see.
"Y'all want a bite of my beef jerky?"
My ears shot up. My tail went into wild, spontaneous swings, and I licked my chops. "Beef jerky? Oh, yes!"
"Well,
see if you can be mannerly about this. I mean, we ain't slobs around here. Can you sit down like gentlemen? Sit like... Hey, were we gonna share the jerky or not? Sit. Okay, I could sit. I plunked my hyenulary region down on the ground and assumed the pose of a perfect gentleman dog. So did Drover. There, we waited for our... Slim held the jerky under my nose. My lips began, well, smacking, I guess you'd say. Drover's lips were smacking too. I could hear him. Slim continued waving the jerky under our noses. Our heads moved back and forth with the fragrant morsel. Left, right, left, right. He got a chuckle out of that, and then he did something really odd. I'm not sure you'll believe this. You know what he did? After he'd noticed that our heads moved back and forth with the hand that held the fragrant jerky, he started conducting us. You know, he held both hands in the air and moved them back and forth as though he were conducting a symphony orchestra. He whistled and hummed a little tune. Blue Daniel's Waltz, in case you were wondering. And he conducted our heads. Here's how it sounded.
Dee-do, dee-dee-do. 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 Dee-dee-do, dee-dee-do.
I thought that was just a little weird. Hey, I knew what he was doing. He was using our powerful hunger as an... I don't know what, but it was an underhanded trick that made us look, well, ridiculous. I mean, in my deepest heart, I knew that we looked silly moving our heads back and forth with the jerky, but somehow I wasn't able to control my... Oh, he made a big deal out of it, standing in front of us and waving his arms back and forth. Why, you'd have thought he was, I don't know, some famous conductor. And did I mention that he provoked us into snapping our jaws in time with the music? It's true, he did. He even came up with a name for this, whatever you may call it, this musical experience, I guess you'd say. He called it Jerky Symphony in Nothing Major. No kidding. Yes, this was very weird. It was weird that a grown man would do such a thing with his loyal dogs, but it was even weirder that we dogs went along with it. I don't know how to explain it except to say that, well, if you wave a piece of jerky in front of a dog's nose, his nose will follow, no matter how badly his heart is broken and how absurd it makes him appear. Well, old Slim was having the time of his life conducting his dogs and humming a song, and there's no telling how long it might have gone on if someone hadn't walked up right then and caught the three of us right in the middle of this silliness.